take advantage of every opportunity. Display your gifts. Show off what God has given you. Display your gifts. This is your time. Don't turn your back on your turn. The only limitations that exist are the ones that you create in your mind.
That's right.
Show up, focus, and finish. This is your time.
That's right.
I'm thankful today that I have another opportunity to proclaim that the Lord is the true God.
He is the living God. He is the everlasting King.
You have your Bible, would you turn with me this morning to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 16. When you find your place, would you stand and show honor to the reading of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 6, starting at verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroad. Stand at the crossroads and look. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Which way is the good way? And walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul.
Amen.
And you will find rest. But you say, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Father, sanctify these your people in the truth, or separate them unto yourself and mold and make them, shape them in the truth. And your word is truth. Go ahead and have a seat. Scripture informs us that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Under the heavens. Mm-hmm. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. In other words, there are certain activities that we need to be involved in based on the season that we find ourselves in.
Amen.
There are certain things we should be doing based on the season that we find ourselves in. And I came by today, I don't know who this is for, well, I do kind of know who it's for. But I came by today to proclaim, to make a proclamation to somebody who's ready to listen to the sound of the watchman's trumpet, that this is your time. I'm proclaiming that to somebody today, that this is your time. This is your season, and this is your turn. And let me hurry up and say, I'm not just talking individually, but corporately. This is our time, church. And you're looking around and saying, this is our time. This is our time. This is our time to build for the future, to break down barriers, and to push past the pessimist that said, oh, you don't have this, you don't have this, you can't do that. This is your time to push past the pessimist. This is the time for you and I to start to be what God intended us to be and start doing what God intended for us to start to do. This is your time. This is your moment. But now, I'm going to stop right there because anybody feeling that?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't look like you're feeling what
yes,
I'm saying.
Sir.
You don't feel like you're picking up what I'm laying down.
Okay.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Is there anybody feeling this? Are you going, I don't know. I'm going to say it again. This is your time. Church, this is our time. This is our time. But now, I need to hurry up and say that there's always some conditions that we must meet individually and corporately if we're going to be successful in seizing this moment, this divine moment in time. The first being is that we got to make sure that our hearts are right.
Amen.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that our hearts are right. There are some of us who are missing out on God's best because our motives are messed up. Our motives are messed up. We need to get our hearts right. And there's a quick test for that. There's a quick test for that to find out if your heart is right. Just ask yourself, is everything I'm doing just about me? Wow, it's quiet in here tonight. Is everything I'm doing just about, is it only about me? If it's only about you, if you're looking to get move forward and it's only about you, it's not about taking anybody with you or bringing anybody else along, but if it's only about you, then it's probably, your motives are probably messed up.
Amen.
But that's a different sermon. We need to make sure that our hearts are right. Now,
okay.
With that said, we also need to, I need to also point out that there's more to seizing our moment than just recognizing what season we're in and having the right motives. You see, we can be in the right place at the right time, doing all the right things, have the best motives, but still live a defeated life if we never bother to do anything. If we never bother to move. We can have everything in place, have our hearts right, but if we don't do anything, we're still going to be defeated. And that's where I want to hover just for a moment this morning. To realize our victory, to realize your victory, we have to move when the opportunities are there and not turn our backs on our turn. To get that, we have to be able to do something. We have to be willing to do something. You know, God opens windows of opportunities in our lives all the time. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
God has opened windows of opportunity, but I found that, and I found this out the hard way. I found this out the hard way. That he only gives us a certain amount of time to take advantage of those opportunities.
Amen. Amen.
He will open the window, but he's only going to give you so much time to take. And once the opportunity has passed, it's gone. There's no getting it back. So we must seize the moment when God opens the door. We must seize our opportunities, every opportunity that God gives us. Look at what God said. Look at what Jesus said one day. He says, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. In other words, Jesus is saying there's an urgency. When God gives you a work, there's an urgency to it. It has to be done now. When he calls you, because the opportunity will not always be there. He says, night is coming.
Yeah.
Now, the word night here has a number of connotations, but primarily it means the end of an opportunity. When night comes, the opportunity is done. And that's what our text is about today. You might be wondering, what does all this have to do with that? That's what it's about, the end of an opportunity. Let me just take a moment to put this text into context. You see, because of the evil and all of the wickedness, the scripture uses the word wickedness that Judah had been doing and was still doing, because of their greed, this text says, talks about their greed. Because of their greed, because of the way they were treating the poor, the disenfranchised, those on the fringes of society, because of the way they were treating people, because of greed, God warned. Somebody say warned.
Warned.
He warned the city. He warned Judah and Jerusalem, I'm getting ready to take y'all out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to take you out. He warned them that an invader is going to come down from the north and he's going to wipe out Jerusalem. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like a loving God. Man, I mean, it doesn't sound very loving that God's going to take out a hope. Well, I disagree. Because when you go back and read the text, being the good Bereans that you all are, you're going to read all of this for yourselves.
Yes.
And you're going to go back and find out. When you go and look at it, you're going to find out that God gave them opportunity after opportunity to act right, but they decided to put God on ignore. It wasn't like he said, look, I done told you. Look, my dad used to say that. My dad said, I done told you.
That's right.
And I told you.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
and
Lord.
That's before the anyway. Yeah. I told you. And are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
I can still hear my dad. I told you. Anyway. But again, the opportunity, look at what Jeremiah says in verse 10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. The people of God, they put God on ignore because they didn't want to hear what God had to say. It was offensive. What God was telling them was offensive to them. And guess what? Things haven't changed much. A whole lot of people still don't want to hear what thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that. And I believe that one of the reasons we don't want to hear what God has to say is because we're afraid that God is going to ask us to do something we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He may ask me to change my life. Mm-hmm. But I got news for you. Life is in the Word. Now, even though God said he was going to take out the city, he said, I'm going to take out the city. I told you, I warned you now, here's what's going to happen. God still gave them a way out. First of all, he warned them what was going to happen, and then he gave them a way out. He offered them salvation. You see, God does not want anybody to perish. So God told him through Jeremiah that the only chance you have was to get out of Dodge while the getting is good. It's going to happen. You need to get out of Dodge.
All right.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Get out of Dodge. While, in other words, if you move when I tell you to move. Are y'all with me?
Yeah. I told you.
If you move when I tell you to move, if you take the opportunity I'm giving you, you're going to be all right. But not only did the people continue to put God on ignore, but they just kept on doing, trying to appease God. They just kept on doing the things they had always done. They were bringing their incense and their sweet oils to the temple to sacrifice. In other words, they were trying to cover over the stench of their sin with the perfume of their rituals. And it was obvious to everybody that their motives, especially God, their motives weren't right. We're just going to try to appease you with some stuff here, God. But their motives weren't right. Their hearts were not right. As many of you have heard me say before, rituals are no substitute for obedience. God could care less about our rituals if they're not performed in conjunction with obedience. If you read down a little further in verse 20, look at what it says in verse 20. God says, what do I care about your incense from Sheba and your sweet calamus from distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable to me. Your sacrifices do not please me. In other words, you're wasting your time doing what you want to do when I've already told you what to do to be saved. You're wasting your time with your ritual when I already told you what you need to do. The city of Jerusalem had a wonderful opportunity for God's best, but they tossed it away. They failed to seize their divine moment, and they paid deeply in the end. But here's the question. Here is the question. What was it that was causing these people not to take advantage of the opportunity that God had put before them? Why would they not take advantage? If God has already told you, this is what you need to do to get what you want, why would they not do it? What was it? Well, it was some of the same stuff that causes folks today to not take the opportunities that God offered us. And one of them was greed. And the other one was fear. These are just the first two. Many of us won't act because we are afraid that we're going to lose some stuff, not realizing that the stuff is not ours anyway.
Amen.
I can't do that, God, because I might lose. And when I was working on this, I went like this. I said, I don't know if I could work that in or not. But, you know, when you got a closed hand.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to hold on so tightly to something.
Mm-hmm.
Can't nobody put nothing else in.
Yeah.
And when you hold on so tightly to something, especially when it ain't yours, are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Can't nobody put nothing in it. Yeah. I like to try to keep mine open because somebody may want to come. Are y'all with
Amen.
Me?
Amen.
Amen.
They were afraid to do what they were afraid to do because they were in fear of losing what wasn't theirs anyway. Greed and fear kept them, and it's keeping many of us today from acting. Mm-hmm. I can't do that because I might lose this. Mm-hmm. But don't you know that if God takes something away, if God moves it, he's got something better for you anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's not all. There was something else even more prevalent than these that were keeping them and keeping many of us from seizing our divine moments, and that is complacency. Mm-hmm. Complacency, and let's face it, like them, when it gets right down to it, many of us don't seize our divine moments because we have become satisfied with the status quo. And the weird thing is, most of us are not even happy with the status quo. Mm-hmm.
Preach down.
I mean, we may act like we are. We really are, we stay where we are, we keep doing what we keep on doing because we don't want to upset the apple cart. Well, I got some news for you. Every now and then it's a good idea to upset the apple cart. Mm-hmm. Because when you do, you may find out there's some stuff rotting underneath.
Yeah.
Every now and then it's a good idea to upset. Don't keep going with the status quo. I'm going to start preaching to myself.
Go ahead.
I ain't even listening. There are way too many of us who continue to do the same thing, missing out on opportunity after opportunity because, you know, it's just too much trouble to change.
Preach now.
When I was working on this, I was thinking, it hit me because I was looking at my cable bill. And I was like, ooh, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. But if I do that, then I gotta change the internet. It's just too much trouble. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
When I look at my phone bill, I'm like, I could get a better deal with Clicket or whoever it was. But it's just too much trouble to change. Are y'all with me?
Right.
I had to change my email. Can y'all hear what I'm saying?
I hear
we are content to keep on doing what we've always done, even if we don't like it, because it's too much trouble.
Yeah.
I hope somebody besides me is.
I hear you, Pastor. I got the cable
100%. Somebody tell me how to get rid of this cable. That's ridiculous. Jerusalem found itself in trouble because of complacency. Although they were warned that they only had this small window of opportunity, they didn't consider doing anything different. After all, things were looking pretty good on the outside. They were well off, and they thought they were safe. So why consider doing anything different? I mean, the TV's working. Well, the fact of the matter, they weren't as well off as they thought they were, and they definitely were not safe. Mm. God told them, look around and understand where you are. Look around and get a better perspective of where you actually are. Get a better idea. Look again at what he says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your soul.
All right.
Stand at the crossroads and consider where you are. Ask for the wise way. Ask what the good way is, and then seize the moment. Robert, have you ever noticed that God has a way of bringing us to crossroads in various aspects of our lives? Anybody been there? I can think back when I was thinking about this. I remember that crossroad. And then you can think of the ones you took the right path, and the ones, I wish I wouldn't have went that way.
Mm.
God has a way of bringing us to these crossroads at various times and then asking us to make a decision.
That's right.
Continue down the road that leads to destruction or change course. Continue down the road. God brings us to crossroads and asks us to choose the right way. But I found that most people, given a choice, will choose to continue paying the bill, continue down the wrong road, continue down their road. Why? Because they're content. They're content. And it's easier to stay where you are even if you find yourself in the mud. Jerusalem had, they were headed for destruction. But they were too complacent to do anything about it. So they missed out on their divine moment. Complacency will cause us to miss out on our moments. Complacency will keep us from seizing the moment. Stories told about years ago, a young man who was working as a clerk in a hardware store. And like, I was born in a little town called Independence, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And we moved to California when I was 3, but every now and then we would go back and we would visit Kansas. And they had the old, it was a little town, you blink your eye and go through, but they had a main street. You guys, mm-hmm. They had a main street. They got a Walmart, that's what they called the mall. They got a mall later on, but they had, it was a main street, and they had every store. They had a shoe store, and a this store, and a that store, and they had a hardware store, and they had these little old-timey, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, amen,
y'all,
amen.
But this was one of those hardware stores that those old-timeys, and they had a whole bunch of old inventory, thousands of dollars worth of old inventory that was obsolete and that very few customers would ask about. The young man was smart enough to know that no thriving business could have such an inventory and can, you know, have a healthy profit. So he wanted to sell off and get rid of some of this extra inventory. He went to the owner and he says, "Look, I want to have a sale." He was reluctant, but finally he agreed, and he let him set up a table in the middle of the store to try to sell off some of this oldest stuff. He said to sell off some of the oldest stuff. Young man priced everything 10 cents. And the sale was a complete success. He got permission to do another sale, and that sale went even better than the first one. So he went to the boss and he says, "Why don't we open a store that will sell only nickel and dime stuff?" He said, I'll run the store. He said, "I'll run the store. You just provide the capital." The boss said, no. He decided not to partner with the young man, and he told him, there's just no way you're going to have enough money, enough merchandise to sell stuff for a nickel and a dime. Now, that's what he told the young man. That's what he said. We can't come. But the real reason he didn't want to do it, because he was comfortable where he was. He was content with the way things were. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just stop here for a moment and just ask this question. Have you ever noticed that we can always find a reason not to do something that's uncomfortable?
Amen. Amen.
You ever notice that? Today is Monday, and so I'm starting my sit-ups. Oh, I got a little.
Hey.
I'm gonna not aggravate it. Because it might be, are y'all with me?
Amen.
We can always find an excuse to do something, not do something that's uncomfortable. Oh, there's a little twin. I'll start tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah. Too close, Pat. Too close.
The boss.
Careful.
The boss was comfortable and he was content. So he said no. He said no. Now the young man was disappointed, but eventually he went ahead and he went out on his own with his idea, and he made a fortune. His name was F.W. Woolworth.
Oh yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's too many young people, y'all don't know nothing about Woolworth. When I was growing up, Woolworth was all of that. Are y'all with me? They had them all. His name was Woolworth. Years later, the old boss looked back on things. He said, "As near as I can figure, every word I used to tell Woolworth to turn him down cost me about $1 million. Every word I used cost me $1 million. Complacency. Being content with mediocrity. Being content with the scraps that the enemy throws us keeps us from seizing our divine moments. But now, with that said, complacency is not the biggest problem. I believe that the most powerful force that keeps us from seizing our divine moments is just straight up disobedience. I'm not gonna do it. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times when I was doing a lot of counseling, especially different marital counseling and whatever kind of counseling, I said, "Okay, well, Here's what the Word of God says.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you what it says. Here's what it says. And so, if you want counsel, this is what you should do. I can't tell you how many people looked me dead in the face and said, I ain't doing that. Mm. Are y'all with me? Mm. I am not going to do that. Back to the text. Jerusalem had turned away from God. They had turned away from the ancient ways, and they had turned to other gods. Please, please, please go back and read this. Just read all of 16 and most of 17. You can start with it and read what was going on, and you really get the feel of what I'm talking about. But they had turned to other gods. And if the truth be told, some of us are guilty of the same thing. We've turned to other gods. I bet you there's some folks, let me not go there. They turn to other gods. They turn to the god of the Seahawks, the god of the Mariners, the god of the Kraken, the god of the yard, the god of the boat, the god of the Masters. Are y'all with me? Now I know some of y'all are thinking, them ain't gods. Them are not gods. Those are not gods. Well, how many times have you heard me say, whatever you put in front of God is your God. All right? The people had turned to other gods, and it wasn't because they were acting out of ignorance. No, they knew better. They just refused to do better. Mm-hmm. I know better. I know I should put God first, but man, I was at church last Sunday.
Amen.
Help me, Holy Ghost. They knew better. They just refused to do better. Look at what God tells them about themselves. He says, your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not gods. I supplied all their needs, yet they committed adultery. God supplied everything they had. He dressed them. He put rings on their fingers. He fed them. He protected them. He turned, and they turned their backs on him. They went out and committed adultery. And if you read the scripture, he talks about the wickedness that was going on in there. But it was not just spiritual, but physical. Yet, as bad as they were treating God, who had supplied all their needs, God still was not willing that any of the people should perish. So he gave them a way out. He opened the window of opportunity. He offered them salvation. Look at what it says in verse 17 again. It says, I appointed a watchman over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. In other words, God said, I sent a preacher. I sent a prophet. I sent a teacher to warn you that death is coming. Listen to the note of the sound of the trumpet that is warning that death is coming. God said, I've given you a way out. Seize the moment. Get out of town. But the people came back and said, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to do it. We don't want to hear it. I don't know how many of you guys have heard this or know this, but some of you may know this, but Jeremiah was known as the
weeping prophet.
Oh, y'all know, the weeping prophet. He was a weeping prophet. And I could just hear the people now as Jeremiah was telling them to seize him up. Can you just hear him? Here he come again. He whining and crying. He can't even make it through a sermon without crying. Okay. All right.
Preach down.
Can you just hear him saying, take that stuff on away from around here, Jeremiah. We don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I can see people in my mind's eyes. I don't want to hear, don't preach at me. I was one of them. I was one of them. I could still hear the words coming out of my mouth when somebody was trying to say, don't preach at me. Mm-hmm. I don't need your preaching. I grew up listening to preaching. I know more about it. Get out of my face. Mm-hmm. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
Don't preach at me. I don't want to hear that mess. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I could see in my mind's eye, Anybody but me? Mm-hmm. Don't preach at me.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. I'm grown. I'm grown. I'm good and grown. Do what I want to do. When I want to do it. And I don't know why I'm going down this aisle. But as I look back now and I just think about how many times God brought me through. I mean, how many times that it could have been me.
Amen.
And it wasn't. God would only let me go so far.
Yeah.
And no further. I mean, that's another story. But anyway, I can see in my mind's eye the window of opportunity slowly closing with every attempt of Jeremiah to get the people to move, to get them to turn, not turn their backs on God. Disobedience, straight up disobedience, kept them and is keeping many of us from seizing our divine moments. There's some of us here today, there's somebody here today, who knows what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Now, I know that I'm talking to somebody because I was telling somebody not too long ago, she's not here today, but the individual's not here today, but you don't understand. That word you just gave, I was about to lose it. And I said, you know, sometimes God has a word for one, sometimes he has a word for the masses. And I believe, I don't know if this is for everybody, but I believe it's for somebody today. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
I don't know who you are. That's not my job, that's Mary's job. I don't know who you are, but I do know this. I do know this. Some of us here today know that God, what he's called us to do, we have felt the urging of the Holy Spirit to do something. And it's been confirmed by something or someone else who told you that's what you need to do. And I don't know what it is. I am not that. My gift is not prophecy. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
That is not, I don't believe God. I got a whole bunch of gifts I wish I had, and that ain't one of them. But I do know this, that God gives me a word for a reason.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me? And you've been confirmed. We have been offered opportunity after opportunity to seize that moment, but you have refused. And I don't know who I'm talking to. We've been telling ourselves that we're fine where we are. Well, I got news for you. Things are not as good as you may think they are.
Okay.
We keep telling ourselves, well, there's always tomorrow. Well, I got some more news for you. Tomorrow ain't promised to nobody.
That's right, dude. That's right. That's good.
Tomorrow is not promised. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Y'all know what that means?
Amen.
Seize the moment.
That's right.
Seize the moment. Listen, corporately, can have a great victory right now. There's things that are moving, things that are happening that have already taken place in the unseen. Are y'all with me? That just have yet to be developed in the physical. We can have a great victory right now, but great victories require great sacrifice.
Mm.
They require sacrifice. Wanting something to happen. You know what? I'm preaching good. I don't care if y'all like it or not. Wanting something to happen. Wanting change won't just happen because we want it. We must do something. We must take what we want. Seize the moment. The window of opportunity only stays open so long. Gather while you can. Night is coming. God has destined many of us for great things. I know that. But these things, and you know what? Let me put a pin right there. I don't know why this popped in my head. Don't think because of how old you are, you're past what God has for you to do.
That's right.
How old was Moses when God sent him out?
80.
Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Just don't be thinking about your age. You know, that gets me something. And somebody told me that the other day. I said, the age thing, that would mean nothing to God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If he's got something for you, it's going to come when he's ready for you to be, when you get ready. And you might have to be 80 before you're ready. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that ain't me. But you know what? God is able. God is able. God has destined some of us for great things. Things we will never realize unless we do something. Unless we do something. Don't wait until it's too late to do what you're capable of doing right now. Seize the moment. Seize the moment. Let me just leave you with this. In the days before modern harbors, a ship had to wait off for the flood tides before it could get into port. You guys with me?
Yeah.
The term for that situation was ab portu. That's the Latin, in Latin. This is a ship standing off a port, waiting for the moment when it could ride the turn of the tide into the harbor. The English word opportunity is derived from that meaning. The captain and the crew would be ready and waiting for that one moment because they knew that if they missed it, now don't miss that, I need to go slow here. They would be waiting and watching for that one moment because they knew if they missed it, they would have to wait for another tide to come in. Shakespeare turned the background of this exact meaning opportunity into one of his most famous passages, Julius Caesar. He said, "There is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, missed, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and misery. If you miss that tide, if you miss the opportunity, all of their life is bound in the shallows and in misery." The tide has turned for somebody today. The time is now. The only limitations that exist are the ones that you've created in your mind. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm not. But God is. God is. This is your time. The question is, will you take it or miss it and allow the voyage of your life to be bound in the shallows and in miseries? This is your time. And I implore you to show up, focus, and finish. Seize the moment. God bless you this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that, and I just believe somebody heard you today, Lord, and they're ready to step out on faith.